Welcome to The Best Is Yet to Be, the show that helps you make the rest of your life the best of your life. Now here's your host, Deborah Bales.
Hello, and welcome to The Best Is Yet to Be, the show that helps you make the rest of your life the best of your life. And every Saturday at 12 noon here on News Talk 920 KVEC, we have a show dedicated to positive aging, because the premise is aging, if we're lucky, will happen to all of us. So why not celebrate it? And to that end, we have guest experts on every week to discuss different aspects of how we can grow old positively and how we can also care for our aging loved ones. And this week, I am thrilled to have as our guest expert, Nancy Sullivan, the lead dietitian for Hospice Partners of the Central Coast. Welcome, Nancy.
Thank you, Deborah.
Well, Nancy, the first question that comes to my mind, of course, is when we're talking about hospices, why would you need a dietitian if you're reaching the end of your life?
Well, if we can back up just a little bit, I'd like to give you a little background about Hospice Partners
Absolutely.
Of the Central Coast and how I, as a dietitian, and my other two dietitians who work with me fit into this.
Great.
All right. Hospice Partners of the Central Coast actually is an affiliate of the Wilshire Health and Community Services. And we are a nonprofit organization, and we take care of people who are dying or who have 6 months to live based on various diagnoses. So there's a whole team of people. We have medical directors, we have bereavement people, coordinators, we have volunteers, a large volunteer group. We have hospice musicians who go out and play music for people. We have Penny the dog, who is our hospice dog that is associated
really?
With one of our physicians.
That's fantastic.
We have medical social workers. We have home health aides. So we have a variety of people and spiritual counselors. And dietitians fit into this because our role is to go into the home and help the families in with end-of-life problems deal with end-of-life eating difficulties.
Yeah, and you know, my question really wasn't flip at the beginning, but you know, it's Hospice Partners of the Central Coast has so many wonderful services, and they're all integrated together in such a great seamless way that when I met you, Nancy, and you mentioned you were a dietitian, the first thing that came to my mind is kind of this silly question: is what in the world does a dietitian do? Mm-hmm. For the last stages of life, and you have some wonderful stories.
Well, in actuality, food is the most emotional product on the face of this earth. It's love, it's oral gratification, it's be a good little girl, we'll bake cookies. And so when someone is coming to the end of their life, their gastrointestinal system changes so that they no longer want to eat or drink. And their body tells them not to eat or drink because this system supports life. And the person who is the loved one or the caregiver in the home does not always understand that this is a normal, natural process. And they think that their loved one is starving to death because they're not eating and drinking. And they may be losing weight and they may be sleeping more. And so our role is to go in and help them understand that. And then work with any of the difficulties the patient might be having in terms of swallowing, which also changes as we age. And that's basically a great deal of what we do. So it's a great deal of emotional counseling and helping them understand how this body is changing in regards to foods and eating and drinking. And I think one of the best stories that I love to tell is of a family, a wife and a husband, and the husband was the patient, and the woman was the homemaker, and she cooked, cleaned, raised the children, and this was a couple in their 80s. So if you look back at the generation they lived in, she was that homemaker. And he was in bed, and the call I got from the nurse to see this family was because the woman was very distraught that her husband was not eating like he should or drinking like he should. She thought he was starving, but he was also having problems with severe nausea and vomiting. So I went to the home, and when I arrived there, she said, "Oh, good, you can help me figure out what I can feed him so he won't be nauseated and he won't vomit. And look at what all I have prepared for him, and he can't eat it." So I go into the room where he is, and I say to him, "George, I understand you're having problems, and you don't feel good in the morning, and you're a little nauseated. Is that right?" And he says to me, and she says, "Yes, that's right." He wakes up, and he's sick. And I said, "George, after you have something to eat, does that help, or is it about the same every time you try to eat?" And he said, "Yes, he has trouble every time he tries to eat." So you see, she's answering for him.
Yeah.
And he's not telling me anything. But I know, after having worked with this organization for many years, I know what's happening. Because I look at the age that they are and the generation that they are and their lifestyle. And so I say to George, "George, if you can't eat the food that Mary prepares, it's okay. You won't hurt her feelings."
Wow.
And then George said to me, "But she works so hard to make things nice." And then at that point, Mary brushes over to him, and she's crying, and he's crying, and I'm crying. And she says, George, you don't have to eat anything if you don't want to. It's okay, you don't have to." And he said, "Honey, I'm so sorry, I can't eat." And then at that point, I explained to both of them how, as we go along this process of life, that this system that supports life gradually shuts down. And how this occurs is that we begin to make less enzymes, less gastric acid, and this all starts at about age 40. Women always disagree with this, but it starts at about age 40. And you'll hear people say, "You know, I used to be able to eat that and it doesn't agree with me anymore." Or you'll see senior menus on restaurant menus, because people eat less as they age, and their brain tells them not to bring in certain foods because the body can't digest it anymore. And the wave that goes all the way through us when we swallow begins a format of decreasing in intensity, so that at the end of life, this system that supports life shuts down. And the person going through this never feels pain from hunger or thirst. But if they force food and fluid like George was, and the body can't handle it, then it will come up. So what occurred in this particular home, and why the dietitian services were so important, is that Mary was so focused on getting food into him because she felt he was starving to death.
Yeah.
And George didn't want to hurt her feelings, so he was sick. And he died 2 weeks later. And what we did for that family is we got food out of the way so that the two of them could have some quality time together those last 2 weeks. And then our great nurses, who I think I failed to mention, handled pain control for this gentleman. And he died. If we hadn't done what we did, Mary would have said to her family, "It was horrible. He was sick to the end. He starved to death." But as it was, they had 2 weeks together, and they were quality days together.
That's a wonderful story, and I think that puts to rest so many misconceptions that food equals love. And at this end stage, in actuality, there, as you mentioned, there is no pain from hunger. Because I know that people worry, well, aren't they in pain from the hunger pains? And
no.
The way you put it was very, very elegant.
And I do want to emphasize that we have a large team approach. I was not the only person working with this family because our nurses help with pain control. Our home health aides go in and help bathe, do chores, give foot massages or whatever the family might need. Volunteers might sit and read to this person so the wife can go somewhere. Musicians will come in and play music, which helps with pain control. Mm-hmm. Also, social workers help with any of the finances or helping people get caregivers. So they're a major component. And our bereavement program is wonderful because we follow the families, the survivors, for at least a year minimum after their loved one has died to offer that type of support also. And our chaplains don't go in and preach. They go in for that support also that is needed or for anything that family might want.
Well, you're absolutely right. I became acquainted with Hospice Partners of the Central Coast when my own mother was dying, and they were absolutely fantastic. John McAndrew, the chaplain that helped my family out, was absolutely wonderful. And you folks provide this just unbelievably valuable service to us here in San Luis Obispo County.
Then there's also the behind-the-scenes people that you don't hear much of.
Right,
yeah. A whole group of people who support, who are office people and support. And then there are the marvelous, marvelous angels of our group, and that is our night nurses.
Mm.
And they work at night. And if they get a call in the middle of the night, they go out to the home. So 24 hours a day, someone can call if they need help. And I also want to just say that We will give service to anyone who needs it. It is not based on money that anyone has. And 8% of the people that we do service have no insurance and have no financial means. So we do count on, as a nonprofit, we do count on people giving us good care and good donations as they can.
Absolutely. Well, if you're just tuning in, we're on the show The Best Is Yet to Be. I'm your host, Deborah Bales, and our special guest expert this week is Nancy Sullivan, the lead dietitian for Hospice Partners of the Central Coast. And we're going to take a short break for a word from our sponsor. And when we return, we'll be talking about end-of-life eating and some of the healthy aspects that Nancy brings into her daily work. So hang on, and we'll be right back after a word from our sponsor.
Home on the Central Coast. There's simply no place like it. Rescare Home Care is here to help you stay at home and live on your own terms. Maybe you or a loved one needs a little help with everyday activities. Driving, cooking, doctor's appointments, light housekeeping, or just having a safe, trustworthy companion. Every Rescare Home Care professional is an experienced, screened, and insured employee, not a contractor. You'll feel comfortable having us in your home, whether it's a few hours a day or 24/7. We guarantee compatibility. Call us today at 781-8156. That's 781-8156. Rescare Home Care, respect and care at home. 781-8156.
Hello, and we're back on the show The Best Is Yet to Be. I'm your host, Deborah Bales, and this week we have as our special guest expert, Nancy Sullivan, who is the lead dietitian for Hospice Partners of the Central Coast. And when we left off before the break, Nancy was telling us some stories about how, as we reach the end of our lives, how eating and our body's need for food changes, and how we've grown up learning, I guess, that food equals love, and how that can be changed toward the end of life, so that we can actually use that special time together with our loved ones in a different way. So, Nancy, tell us another story about what you've been doing.
I have met so many wonderful people over the years and learned so much, and many of them touch my heart. Here is a particular story that I love to tell, because I promised this woman I would tell it. We had a patient who was 94 years old, and her real name was Mary, and this was several years ago. She was the last of anyone in her family. The last, all of her siblings were gone. She and her husband had never had children. She had friends and she had neighbors. And she had crippling arthritis, so that her hands were very gnarled, and one of her legs was affected so that she was unable to sit in a wheelchair. So she was in a nursing home in the area, and I heard that she was a delightful woman with smiles and never complained because she was alert from the neck up. Her body was falling apart. So I said to myself, I'm going to meet her because if she can't feed herself, I want to make sure that those who are feeding her are not feeding her too fast and that she is asking for what she needs, wants, and deserves. So I visit her and I'm asking her these 20 questions. She's smiling and answering. And then she said, Nancy, pull up a chair and sit down. So I did. She said, when I was a little girl, my mother had my grandmother in a bed in our living room. And I used to tug on her skirt and say, Mama, you never do anything with me. Mama, you're always with her. She said, my mother turned to me and said, little girl, you come into this world. You are once a woman and you are twice a child. She's my child also. And I am sitting there with tears running down my face as she's telling me this. And I realize that this is true, that when babies come into this world, they tell us when they're hungry. They tell us when they've had enough. They tell us when they want to sleep. They tell us when they need care. And we respect it and we listen to them. And at the end of life, when we are bedridden and need total care and are eating pureed foods because we can't swallow like we did because the system is changing and we want to sleep all the time, we don't always give the person that respect the same way when they are a child again. We say, Dad, get up. We got to get clothes on you. Just get up in a wheelchair. You've been in bed too long. Come on, Mom, just another bite or two. You didn't eat very much for breakfast. So at the end of life, all of us at some point in time will reach a point where the only thing we have control over is what we choose to eat or drink or not eat or drink. And we want to respect that. And that's what I do as a dietitian. And I will tell that story. And I told Mary that I came here to see if I could do anything for you, and you gave me this beautiful story, and I will share it wherever it's appropriate, and I have. And then Mary said to me, and to let you know, Nancy, I'm in my child again, and everyone is treating me just fine, thank you. So as I go into homes where it's appropriate, I will use this story. And then people who are focused on feeding and getting people up and getting them to drink and getting so much food in them begin to realize that their husband or their father, that this is their choice. And so I always have them give the person a choice. Would you like ice cream for breakfast or would you like applesauce? And then they get to make a choice because that's the only thing you have control over at the end of life. You never get into a food fight with an adult that's all they're available and can do, and never in a food fight with a child. They'll win every time. So you'll just have the frustration, and then you have this little war going on, like Mary and George in their home. You will have that frustration. So we get food out of the way, and then we concentrate on what is really important toward the end of life.
Wow. Well, for those of you just tuning in, we are on the show The Best Is Yet to Be, and we've been hearing from Nancy Sullivan, the lead dietitian with Hospice Partners of the Central Coast. And Nancy, I started the program asking this kind of silly question about what does diet have to do with end of life? And you've eloquently been telling us all of the different ways that food does play or does not play a part in each of our lives as we are near the end of our lives, and also you've reminded us very eloquently about respecting others' wishes toward the end of life, and this is so important. And so although you are billed as a dietitian, you are so much more, and you bring in the spiritual aspect that is approached through the means of eating, which is something that I've absolutely never experienced before. This is just a way to really connect.
That's what dietitians do. I'm thinking, you know, people think dietitians wear hairnets, carry clipboards, and tell people what they should eat.
Right,
but,
exactly.
But a good dietitian will sit down, listen to you, mm-hmm. and hear you, and gear tools and techniques for you to fit your needs. It's your life, not mine. It's yours. So it should be geared around you. Yeah. And that's what we do.
Yeah, absolutely. And Nancy, if someone has any questions, how can they reach you?
Well, they can call at Hospice Partners of the Central Coast, and the telephone number there, shall I give that?
Absolutely.
Is 782-8608, and you can ask for a dietitian. There are three of us, and we're also on the web. You can pull us up on the web, but if you call Hospice Partners, you can find a dietitian very easily.
Okay, that's great. And of course, I post the podcasts of every week's show on our radio show website, which is www.yettobe, which is www.yet2be. And and also you can feel free to call me anytime, and I will definitely get you in touch with Nancy if many times people months down the road will hear the show and they'll call me or contact me and say, you know, I remember somebody talking about XYZ mm-hmm. 6 months ago, and I'm happy to put you in touch with any of our guest experts. And you can call me at 805-550-2023. So,
may I interject something
absolutely,
else?
Absolutely, Nancy.
If anyone has questions about hospice services, have them call Hospice Partners of the Central Coast. And we are the Medicare hospice, so we do treat pain and have, as I said, a lot of people who do this. If you have any questions, you can refer yourself, you can refer a family member, a doctor can refer you. But if you just want to know about hospice and you're not quite sure, but you're leery, it doesn't cost you anything to call at any time and ask questions. And we would be very happy to explain services to see if this is something that you may want for someone in your family.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that, you know, many people have the misconception that the minute you say the word hospice, that's like a death sentence.
It isn't.
And it absolutely is not. So tell us about that.
Well, people come on for hospice services based on a diagnosis, whether they meet the criteria for receiving those services. But we may have someone who's comes on for our service, and they're in a lot of pain, they're unable to have good quality of life, and then we bring our whole team in and get them support, maybe caregivers to help, so someone can go to work, get their pain under control, and they start to improve, and then we have to discharge them. We discharge people many times because our services and care for their problems override where they were.
And that's a real message of hope. Mm-hmm. And I know that the caregivers that I have on staff at ResCare Home Care, excuse me, we do go into hospice situations a lot and help work hand in hand with Hospice Partners of the Central Coast to provide services such as the housekeeping, helping bathe the client, and the activities of daily living as they are going through this process. And I have seen many of our clients go on and off hospice several times, actually. So it's a fantastic service. And can you tell us a little bit about any kind of events or anything coming up?
Well, right now, we've been in our this time of the year, which is really hard for a lot of people.
Yes.
Who have, and we have our Light Up the Life programs all over the county. And they're too numerous to mention, and some of them have already occurred, but for those who would like to have information about our bereavement program and the wonderful, fantastic job they do with these Light Up the Life memorial programs, they can call our office and we can give them more information on that.
Now, what also is Light Up the Life?
Well, this is a program where people many times will bring pictures of their loved ones and our marketing person, Ron, who is very good, will do a slide presentation of people who have died with their pictures. And it's a memorial type service, and it's in various areas of the county. And it's just a delightful program, and names are read, and it's a nice healing time for family members who've lost a loved one.
That sounds incredibly powerful and moving. And you know, another thing too, and you bring back that point again, that as a society, at least here in America, we don't respect elders many times. And this is a great way to blend that respect and bring that back in. And as we are aging as a population, this is so important to know these services and to really kind of take a holistic view of our life and see what we have through every single life stage. And what you do is help bring dignity and beauty really to the end of that life continuum. So, Nancy, do you have any last words of advice for us?
Well, I think probably the last thing I'm going to say is that one of the phrases we love to use at Hospice Partners of the Central Coast is that dying happens on the last day, and all the rest of the days are about living. So our real goal is to help people have those living days be the best that they can be.
And that is a great segue into the title of this show, which is called The Best Is Yet to Be. So until our next week, where we have another guest expert on, I want to first thank Nancy Sullivan, the lead dietitian of Hospice Partners of the Central Coast. And Nancy, give us your phone number one last time.
It's 782-8608. That's for Hospice Partners of the Central Coast.
That's great. And as usual, you can contact me, Deborah Bales, anytime with suggestions on guest experts or other questions at 805-550-2023. And so until next time, remember to make the rest of your life the best of your life.
Thank you for listening to The Best Is Yet to Be, brought to you by ResCare Home Care, respect and care at home. For the best in home care, call 781-8156. That's 781-8156.